Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm 113. 113 is our opening psalm. And the whole of the psalm, we sing the whole of this psalm. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. O praise the Lord's name, praise. Yea, blessed be the name of God from this time forth, always. To the end of the psalm, 113. Now let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are greatly encouraged by the psalm that we have been singing together. We have been reminded of how God bends down and, as it were, humbles himself to behold the things that are on heaven and in earth, and how he raises up his people from lowly places, from the dunghill even, and sets us among the princes. We confess, Heavenly Father, that we do not fully understand all that is involved in these great statements. They are in some ways mysterious, almost symbolic, and yet they are words which emphasize the glorious realities that belong to this salvation that is so great and so precious, and that is freely bestowed upon all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess, Heavenly Father, that we take too much for granted, even the gospel. It becomes commonplace to us, so commonplace that we sometimes even luxuriate in arguing over fine points and principles, which may or may not be important. But we do know that this is a matter of life and death. And just as poor people in this world will clutch at the crumbs that fall from rich men's tables, so those who are in deadly serious earnest about salvation will be concerned and delighted to eat the crumbs that come from gospel ministry without, as it were, arguing over the niceties and fine points. The great issues of the gospel are clear. They are made plain. They are repeatedly emphasized. They are explained so that there is no possibility of error, that we are justified and saved from all sin by trusting in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. And whilst we may argue over the details as to how it is that we come to faith in Christ and what part it is that God plays in our salvation, whether we are predestined from eternity, whether we hold to the supralapsarian view of God's sovereign working or the infralapsarian view, these are not the issues and these are not the concerns that really bring home to us the glorious reality that our salvation is freely offered simply by our coming to Christ, calling upon the name of the Lord, and believing all that is written concerning our Saviour. And so this morning, as we gather again on this holy day to concentrate our minds in thinking about this glorious gospel, may we always remember, firmly remember, that the basics are the fundamental and important issues. And so we give thanks, O God, that as we turn again to the scriptures this morning, we are going to be confronted with solemn and serious and saving issues, that Christ Jesus did indeed come into the world to save sinners, and we are all sinners, and each of us feels that we are the chief of sinners. And this is the mark of those who truly do appreciate Jesus Christ. O God Most High, our Heavenly Father, where would we be if it were not true that God forgives sin and that he does so at so great a cost to himself and at no cost really to us at all? And so we give thanks this morning once again that the Word of God is open before us, that the day set apart for worship has come again, that we have health and strength and the ability and the inclination to listen to this Word open before us now. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would remember to pray for others as we pray for ourselves, not only our loved ones, our dear ones, but all the saints, and especially those saints who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We think of pastors being imprisoned in different places of the world, where, as far as we know, they have never been imprisoned before for preaching the gospel and gathering together a people to worship and simply doing what God commands us to do and for that increasingly there is a danger and there is hostility from governments and from police forces, and who knows when it will come to us. We are so accustomed, O God, to having a free gospel freely available without any great trouble. We are so used to a Christianized society that we can hardly imagine what it must be like to live under a measure of persecution and prohibitions to meet together, under which many Christians have lived for many centuries indeed. And increasingly, we see the encroachment of atheism and hostility and indeed anger at the gospel coming into public view. And as we read the scriptures, we are reminded by Christ that there is nothing strange in this, that the world will hate us because it hated him. It will regard us as indeed in many ways troublers and mischievous and a danger to society because of the things that we hold to be true, so fundamentally hold to be true, that the people of God have always had to restate what it is that God requires of us as a human race, what sin has done and what God has done in order to bring us back to God. We read in the scriptures of how Christ died for us, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring us back to God. This is the gospel message. May it be proclaimed loud and clearly and heard intelligently and believingly. May it be a word, a good seed in good soil today. Heavenly Father, help us now to worship as we gather here once again. We pray for all who listen in. We pray for all who further later on, perhaps even in years' times, for all we know, who will listen in and hear the word of God. May it be a blessing, O God, down through the days, the years, and indeed always wherever it is heard, may it do that good work, that blessed word, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the good news of the gospel. This is Christianity, and all else, all the living, all the ways in which churches organize their activities, these are, as it were, consequences only, but the gospel is Christ, the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, O God, and may we listen to it and believe it and love it and live in the light of it, living as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. This is our prayer, O God. We ask for mercy and grace for the sins in which we have ignored this, and we pray for grace that we would never forget Christ, never ignore him, never turn our eyes away from looking unto Jesus. May this be our prayer now. May this be our life in the days to come, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read this morning in the first letter of Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy, and in chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Saviour and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to remain still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou might charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, into his service, who was before a blasphemer and injurious, and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so on. Now we notice the following notices. The afternoon service at 4:30 this afternoon, of course, in the Henry Carmichael Theatre, Mechanics School of Arts, number 280 Pitt Street. I would seek to encourage you to attend the afternoon service. I must admit, I am disappointed and I am rather surprised at how many people who have attached themselves to the congregation have not returned to public worship for some considerable time and have not attended the afternoon service. It is at a good time. It is not difficult to get to. The venue is very comfortable, and we would ask you to heed the exhortation of Scripture. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. To do so is disobedience. And the Church of Jesus Christ in many ways stands or falls by the attendance of those who are interested to attend. Churches go out of existence for a very simple reason. One of the reasons. And that is that people stop attending. And if people stop attending St. George's, well, St. George's has no future. It's as simple as that. Our afternoon service is at 4:30 p.m. in the Mechanics School of Arts, 280 Pitt Street. It's a public meeting. This is a public intimation. And we desire you to hear the word of the Lord. As the prophets used to say many times in ancient Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Faith comes not simply by reading privately and meditating. It comes by hearing the word of the Lord. And the more public hearing, the better. The rest of the notices are Wednesday, of course, at 7 p.m. again at the 280 Pitt Street. And as we indicated on Wednesday past, we're calling a congregational meeting on Wednesday the 2nd of June. We haven't had a congregational meeting for a couple of years or so, and so we're due one, and we're going to have one on the first Wednesday of June. These are the notices. We welcome visitors to our online services, as to our public services. And we remind you that there are ways in which you can offer your offering to the Lord's work. So these are the intimations that I have, and we'll leave it at that. So let us continue then to sing to God's glory in the Psalm number 115. Psalm number 115, and we're going to sing the opening 11 verses, 6 stanzas. Not unto us, Lord, not to us, but do thou glory take unto thy name. We sing these verses 1 to 11, Psalm 115.